Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Rita, the moderator for this conference. Welcome to the NIIT Limited conference call. For the duration of the presentation, all participant lines will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, the question and answer session will be conducted for the participants connected to Singtel. After that, the question and answer session will be conducted for participants in India. I would like to hand over to Mr. Vijay Thandani. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rita. Good evening, everybody. Vijay Thandani here from NIIT, and I have with me on this call Mr. Pawar, the chairman, Mr. Rajendran, chief operating officer, Chetna Kullar, who represents the investor relations and finance function, and then I also have the business leaders, Mr. Raghavan, who runs the individual business, Ashish Vasu, who runs the corporate business, Dr. Day, who runs the strategic initiatives, and somewhere on the call we also have Mr. Balasubramanian, who looks after the schools and institutional business. I also have Mr. Jitendra Mahajan, the CFO of the company, joining us on the call. So we have a large number of people ready to respond to your questions. What I'll do is I'll give you a quick brief of the quarter three results and what went behind them, and then we'll open it for question and answers. As usual, I'll start by talking about the environment that we faced last quarter. Firstly, given the seasonal nature of the education business, quarter three is typically a weak quarter compared to others, and hence year-on-year comparisons are more appropriate. The second, the individual learning business, which was the star of this quarter, was even as per the NASSCOM strategic review, we found that the IT and ITS people requirement continues to be on the rise. And given the fact that a large number of engineering graduates are graduating and are not functionally fully ready for their jobs in the IT industry, it opens up a new opportunity area which we have talked about before. The third, in China, we are seeing the Indian software companies ramping up their recruitment, which opened up new opportunities for us to place our Chinese graduates in Indian software companies. In US and Europe, we saw that the training activity is now moving from out-tasking, which was typically the activity which was normally given to outside vendors, to selective outsourcing and in many cases comprehensive outsourcing, which opens up new opportunities for us. And lastly, the services economy in the country is throwing open many sectors which have large requirements which are competing for the same resources. And therefore, it is becoming very important for us to gear up for specific skills for specific service sectors. So in this environment, the financial highlights of the quarter were net revenues grew by 114% year-on-year and 11% quarter-on-quarter to reach 2,251 million rupees. Net profit grew up by 97% year-on-year to touch 107 million rupees. Global Electromind revenues grew 111% year-on-year to reach 2,970 million rupees. It is important for us to understand what went behind this growth because it was contributed by three elements. One was the growth of the existing NIIT businesses. So the current businesses of NIIT put together grew, which contributed to 56% of total, have grown 20% year-on-year in this quarter and have generated an operating margin of 15%, which is an improvement of 332 basis points over the same period last year. The new businesses contributed 25 million, and of course, this was their second quarter of operation, and they had a negative operating margin, which we'll talk about. And Element K, which we had acquired in the second quarter, and had 60 days of Element K in our second quarter, this time got a full quarter, and their growth was 36% quarter on quarter, and they had an operating margin of 4%. So if you combine all these together, The net revenue growth of 114% gets explained by these three contributors. And if you look at the operating profit of the current businesses, which was at 15% this quarter, which is normally seasonally a weak quarter, but it was surprisingly was good because of number of operating efficiencies in place. This was, in a certain sense, compensated by the new business, which had their early two quarters, and therefore they were in a negative zone. And element K, which was in a very low operating margin zone. So combined effect of that was an operating profit of 178 million rupees in this quarter, which contributed to an operating margin of 8%. And bringing it down to the operational net profit of NIIT, it was at 16 million rupees compared to 10 million in the same year, quarter last year, which represented a 66% growth. NIIT Technologies, whose results came in 2 days ago, contributed 92 million to the bottom line, and therefore the total PAT added up to 107 million rupees in this quarter, which is a growth of 97% year on year. So that's how the totals add up. Important part of this is to say that in the existing NIIT business, the individual business grew extremely well, had a 59% growth year on year, and with an operating margin of 17%. This such a high margin is typically not expected in this part of the year, but it came because of operational efficiencies as well as launching of some new businesses which gave them new price points. And in this quarter, they had launched two new businesses, which I will talk about, two new products, let's say, which I will talk about when I come to more details about their segment. The second was corporate. Corporate grew by 18%, and despite the fact that the business is dependent on U.S. dollars, because a lot of business comes from U.S., and the weakening of dollar against rupee did contribute to about 3% loss in revenues. The overall growth was still 18% year on year. Moving on to the revenue mix, I will talk about the revenue mix post Element K consolidation. So now if you look at our total revenue mix, 43% of our total business is coming out of, net revenues are coming out of Element K. 20%, 21% are coming out of corporate, which means between Element K and corporate business of NIIT put together, 64% business is now coming from activities which are servicing the corporate sector. Individual business is contributing 25%, new business contributed 1%, and institutional is now only 10% of the total. This is in line with the strategic direction that we had defined for ourselves for de-risking the institutional business and increasing the size of the pie for individual and corporate business. Going one level deeper into the individual business financials, at a system-wide revenue level, the individual business grew by 81% year on year. Within the country, the India revenues recorded a growth of 67% and now contribute 60% to the total individual business system-wide revenue. China grew by 38% to contribute 15%, and the rest came from the rest of the world. At an operating profit level, the operating profit of the individual business was 93 million rupees, which represents an operating margin of 17%. And that is a year-on-year growth of 1,682 basis points. Last year, same period, this business had just broken even. So from there, it's a major improvement in their operating characteristics. And much of that has come from the operating leverage that comes from the fixed cost structure that we have there. We had a 3% increase in capacity utilization. Despite that, our overall capacity utilization this quarter was 47%. From 39% in the same period last year. What contributed to some of the individual business metrics was the success of a few programs. One, The career revenues were up by 68% year-on-year. The career registrations on a like-to-like basis were 19% up. And the engineering and computer science student enrollments were up by 45% year-on-year this quarter to reach 16,642 this quarter alone. We launched two new programs, the NIT Network Labs, which is a program addressed to infrastructure management services and networking, and the second, the integrated ANIT program for engineers, which was received extremely well by the industry. In fact, on the launch of this program, we had some of the industry majors from IT services sitting with us on the launch function and talking about the usefulness of the program and asking students to join, engineering students to join these programs so that they become better equipped to service the needs of the IT services industry. We had our placement focus as usual, and the placement did very well. Our focus, given the fact we had lesser number of students to place this quarter, was on focusing on top 20 companies in the IT services so that we could get our students better salaries, and that strategy worked well as well. So over the quarter, our individual business metrics are now that we have a closing order book, and this is a concept we talked about last quarter, a closing order book of 125 crores or 1,254 million rupees, 67% of which is executable in the next 12 months. In the corporate business, which is what I would like to talk next, our revenue growth was 18% year-on-year, and in the revenue product mix, we had been working on improving this product mix to higher margin businesses, and in this the content was 44%, learning deliveries was 36%, and learning technologies was 18%. Litmus was a new activity which was added into this business over the last two quarters. Litmus has taken off well. They got their second customer, in this case the income tax department, where they participated in the tax return preparer scheme. So in a sense, it was a test for Litmus itself to conduct the tax return preparer's entrance test for 47,500 applicants in 100 cities on a single day. And overall, therefore, Litmus contributed 2% of the revenues this quarter. Corporate businesses focus continues to be technology vertical, where they have added four new customers this quarter. With this, now they have six of the top 10 IT companies in the world as their customers, and five of these large companies that they are working with are looking at significant rollouts, which open up training opportunities for the future. We added six new corporate clients in our corporate business. Europe recorded a fairly healthy revenue growth, and this business was actively engaged in the Element K integration as well. With a $10.8 million order intake, the closing order book of this business is $39.1 million, of which 63% is executable in the next 12 months. In the new businesses, both NIT Imperia and ISBI started with six centers in six cities, and NIT Imperia launched six programs with the three IIMs, and IIM Ahmedabad, IIM Calcutta, and IIM Indore, and these programs have been received extremely well. In their first admission cycle, they had 496 registrations, which is exactly the number that they were looking for, and the purpose being to ensure that the first 500 students that we train are test our complete methodology as well as our working relationships with the IIMs. ISBI also started their first admission cycle for the public, where 423 students, when they joined ISBI for their program, also received appointment letters, provisional appointment letters from ICICI Bank for employment as officers in their bank upon successful completion of the program. So here also the classes have commenced at all the six centers with excellent feedback from the students. Just a line on Element K integration. Element K integration has worked out very well and is going at the speed and pace at which we were expecting it to. Element K's second quarter results were better in terms of their operating margin compared to their first quarter, and they continue to remain EPS accretive. The three integration directions that we were focusing on during the quarter was to do with working with large technology customers. We have already had our first success where we got an order to work together, and there are about a dozen conversations which are at various stages of advancement in discussions, so that we can look forward to some successes in the coming quarter. In terms of their international spread, we have now 18 global distributors for Element K products this quarter, and there are discussions to add about 8 more. So these will also contribute to revenue streams as we go forward. The third strategy had to do with merging of the two platforms. Both sides have been working. We expect this to be a 15-month long project, so therefore we would see most of 2007 year being considered for this activity. And as in each quarter, we will see a greater and greater focus of moving towards a single platform. Overall, Element K contributed $960 million in revenues and had an operating profit of 41 million rupees. Overall, from a cash flow viewpoint, while we did have positive operating income during the quarter, we also had asset additions and new businesses launched, at the end of which we have a cash balance of 356 million rupees, of which 70 million is lying in Element K's account and 286 in NIIT's account. In headcount, while we did add headcount in India, in Element K as a part of our planned drive for reduced headcount, overall net effect was an addition of 18 people in our headcount, and therefore the total headcount now stands at 3146 at the end of the quarter. In terms of our center network, we now have 3,138 centers in India and 768 centers in the at the 768 as the India individual center and the individual centers across the world, and 3138 in terms of the institutional centers. With this briefing, I have given you an idea of what contributed to this performance that we just shared with you. I'll be very happy to answer questions, and so will be my colleague. Rita, can you open it for questions, please?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the Q&A interactive session for the India participants. Participants who wish to ask questions, kindly press star 1 on your telephone keypad. On pressing star 1, participants will get a chance to present their questions on a first-in-line basis. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. To ask a question, kindly press star 1 now. First in line, Mr. Ruchi Desai from Pioneer
Engineering.
Hello.
Hello. Good evening. Congrats on good numbers. Just the first question was you, which is the NIT, MBA and the IFPI. You mentioned you got 486 enrollments for MBA and 423 for IFPI. I just want to know what are the capacity of these two new courses, and what is the capacity you can take it up to?
This quarter, we were looking for about 500 of each one of them. So this is in line with that. But the overall capacity, I will ask Dr. D to talk about.
Yes, we have a total capacity of about 3,000 seats at the moment. And of course, over the next few years, we will be ramping these up significantly. But as of now, the capacity is 3,000 seats.
3,000 overall for MBA and NIT each, or is it
No, together.
Together. And at what utilization level would you break even?
We would break even at a little less than 50%.
50%?
Little less than 50%.
All right.
More like 45. Yeah.
Just the last question on the capacity utilization of your individual learning centers. Give that figure if you have it with you.
Yes, I already talked about 47% this quarter.
Right, sorry, I missed that. Anyway, that's it from my end. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line is Mr. Deepen Shah from Kotak Securities. Over to you, sir.
Hi, Vijay. Congrats on a good set of numbers, and congrats to your team also.
Thank you.
Vijay, I had couple of questions on the individual business. First of all, this capacity utilization of 40-odd%, which we said, I was under the impression it was about 61% in the previous quarter. So has any calculations changed? Are you calculating in a different manner, or maybe I had heard it wrong last time?
No. You are absolutely right in what you said last quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And it matches very well with what it is this quarter. As you know, our capacity utilization we measure as revenue capacity utilization.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So our capacity over the quarter, is more or less stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
But our utilization has been less this quarter. Because even if you see our revenues between the two quarters, it has been less.
Okay.
So the utilization is less in this part of the year.
Okay. And this utilization, do we do calculate over all the centers, that is the 3,100 institutional plus the 768 individual centers?
No, it is only over the individual centers.
It's only over the individual centers. Okay. And once again, till what levels can it go in the peak quarter? Like, can it go it up to 80-85%? Is it possible?
Yes.
Okay. And one final thing on the margins, Vijay, in terms of the individual business, hypothetically speaking, if we have to reach 75% or 85% of margins utilization, where can we see the margins going up in the individual business?
I would say a stable margin to expect in this business at between 75% and 80%, let's take 77% capacity utilization, mm-hmm. would be 25%.
Okay. And on an average in a year, if we have to take all the four quarters, we would be averaging about, how much can we average if we have to take an average for the full year?
Well, it depends on, if you see our, how do I define that, sawtooth curve. It's called a sawtooth curve, which means the capacity utilization increases in three quarters, then drops in one quarter, then again increases.
Okay.
But if you see the average, it will keep increasing as it goes by. So if you see our these three quarters, it was, if I remember right, it was, 59, 61, 47.
Okay.
Right? So if the next quarter will be higher utilization.
Okay.
Right? So you can then work out the averages.
Okay. And can you just maybe make some qualitative comments on Element K? How is the business progressing, and how do we see the margins going up in the next couple of quarters or maybe the next year?
Yeah. So right now the way the business has taken off is predominantly on as-is basis. They have a running business,
mm-hmm.
and it is running in a stable mode.
Okay.
The same business was losing money a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the reasons it's not losing money is because of the cost reduction drives which we got in.
Sure.
The synergies are still being implemented. We haven't seen a real result of synergy on the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
What is important is we have had a stable team.
Mm-hmm.
We have had a stable and enthusiastic team,
mm-hmm.
and they do not have the burden of servicing a big debt or trying to meet some immediate needs.
Okay.
They are in a much more comfortable and happier situation.
Mm-hmm.
Our contact with them is nearly continuous. I think on an average, we are spending about a week in a month with them in some form or the other. So we have things working on both sides. So a lot of our effort has gone on what I call the chemistry,
mm-hmm.
and so far all that has worked well. The impact that you see on the results so far is from the cost reduction initiatives which we did, which was as I mentioned, even at that time, a low-hanging fruit because it was cost reduction waiting to happen. Question was whether that cost reduction will cause some negative feelings in the minds of people. It did cause apprehension because people don't know when you will stop.
Okay.
But I think we could handle that, and now we have reached a level of stability, we believe.
Okay.
The team is very stable and they are in a buoyant position.
Okay.
The second important thing which I must say is, in their business where they are very strong, where they were number three, they are going to become number two because number one is acquiring number two.
Okay.
That gives them a specific advantage in the next 6 to 12 months time frame. And as we are discussing, we are looking at opportunities to see how we can take advantage of that. And to that extent, there may be additional investments involved or there may be newer strategies involved which we will be looking at.
Okay.
I think would complete the picture. Ashish, anything you would like to add?
Okay. So is the cost rationalization drive already over and now we have to look at improvements only in terms of the synergies coming in?
Yeah. Two issues. If the cost reduction drive happened over a 4-month period, we haven't seen the full impact of that over a full year.
Okay.
So that you will see as we go forward.
Okay. Okay.
The second is, there is a revenue growth which is happening with additional activity that they are contributing to. Third is the opportunity which has come up because of consolidation in the industry. And we are looking at all these to see how we can get them to move at a faster pace.
Okay. Okay. Thanks very much and all the very best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line. Mr. Nitin Padmanabhan from ICICI Brokerage. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Mr. Thalani. I wanted to know basically with regard to Element K, what is it that really pushed this growth this quarter over the last quarter has grown significantly?
One very simple 60 and 90 days.
No, but that would work out to around, it was 53 crores for two months, right?
Yeah, actually it was 70 crores. On a like-to-like basis,
okay.
It was 70 crores and 96 crores this time.
Okay.
Yeah, so that is the, and they were there with us for 60 days last quarter.
Okay.
And this year they were there.
They are getting a figure of 66 crores for, you know, for the quarter. That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
And how about, with regard, you last quarter you actually had this order book figure which you were giving for the individual business.
Yes, I have given it for this quarter also.
So what is it? I think I probably missed it.
Yeah. It's 1,254 million rupees.
Okay.
And 67% executable in next 12 months.
Right.
And we'll be giving you this number from on time to time basis.
Right. Fine. I'll probably come for a follow-up.
Oh, yes, most certainly.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Next in line, Mr. Ashi Anand from True ICICI.
Yeah, hi, Vijay. Congrats on a very good set of numbers.
Thank you.
I have a few more questions on Element K. I think when you acquired it, you were speaking of potentially getting EBITDA margins up to about 13-15%. By some point in FY09. So one just wanted to ask, if you're saying the low-hanging fruit is now done, what are the next kind of steps we'll be taking in terms of driving margins up and how that would come in? And also if you could just elaborate a bit more in terms of when you're saying we're going to help drive revenues faster. One, what are the steps we're taking which will help drive revenues faster? And what are the numbers we should be working with?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So, first of all, I think whatever we mentioned last time of saying that we expected to reach 13-15% operating margin by 2009, we hold by that. And that obviously assumed, number one, a cost reduction, number two, an organic growth in Element K's own performance, and number three, our synergies that will come in together to give them a boost in their top line as well as their bottom line. Let me hand you over to Ashish Basu, who will talk about specifics in each one of these.
Okay, so let me just start with discussing the way that Element K can leverage, and we also jointly can leverage what they have. Element K has traditionally been in the intellectual property business, which means they both have a technology and they have a content library, which has a fixed cost for development, and over time the sales process will increase the opportunities and increase the revenues, which can keep going in a straight line without necessarily additional the same proportion of direct costs. So a couple of things that we are looking at is around international sales. So international sales, as Vijay would have mentioned, there are a number of distributors who we already have on board, and they are looking at adding to the number of distributors. So as that starts to happen, there is obviously a high variable cost of sales, but there isn't a cost of associated a high cost of delivery. So obviously the margins will go up. The other part of it is we have a number of technology customers who are looking at taking on certain of Element K technologies, specifically around virtual labs, to deliver their training virtually over around the world. And as you start to use virtual labs, much of these expenses are already in, so we just have to invest in infrastructure, and that can be provisioned for many organizations. So fundamentally, the principle of increasing margins is the fact that a lot of their revenues even is IT-based, and hence a lot of their costs are IT-based, and hence it's very much more leverageable. So as the top line goes up, the bottom line will increase far more than you would expect based on the current margins and profits.
So what should we be working with, but in terms of, say, if the key driver is actually driving the top line, what kind of a top line are we expecting over the next couple of years in terms of growth rate?
Okay. At this point of time, if you look at, first of all, this year, we have them only for 8 months of the year. So next year, we have them for 12 months of the year. And if you annualize their growth, then they have had a flat to negative year-on-year growth so far. We expect on an annualized basis a positive year-on-year growth this year, though it will be marginal. It will be 1 or 2%. Next year we expect that to accelerate, and that will depend very much on the results of the synergistic initiatives that we are taking.
Okay. Any number?
I think we'll discuss these numbers as we go along. We had mentioned about the single-digit growth that we see.
Sure.
And what our focus right now is more on improving the margin.
Okay.
And that's why I think we discussed the margin earlier.
Okay. Sir, and in terms of the new business initiatives, I just want to understand what would our cost structure be on an annual basis for both IFBI and Imperium? Combined would be fine.
Well, the cost structure would obviously depend on two things. One, the capacity that we invest in. The second is the level of enrollment that we need to service.
Okay.
So at this point of time, the cost structure that we have, Dr. Day, would you be able to talk about? On an annual basis, what would it be? Okay, perhaps we don't have those numbers right away on an annual basis, but by the end of this year, you can talk about the two put together. And by the way, there is one reason why we are talking about the two put together. One of them is that as a part of our launch, as a conscious plan, we found that actually they could share capacity very easily, because NIT Imperia is typically an evening and weekend play, and NIT IFBI is a daytime weekdays play.
Okay, sure.
So there is a natural synergy. That's why when we talk about this UR capacity, we give you both numbers together.
Okay.
So similarly, when we talk about their cost structure, etc., also we give you the two together. But we can give you a separate if need be. Sorry, can you just talk about how much would it be by the end of this year?
Yes, as you know, as you can see, currently we are at an OPEX of 102 million and an EBITDA of minus 64. We expect the EBITDA to
which is for the two quarters put together that they're having.
Yes, we expect the JFL quarter to have an EBITDA of around negative 10 million and an OPEX of somewhere around 50 million. The quarter just gone by has had a significant component of launch and brand building costs, which we expect as will not is a one-time occurrence and will not happen in the subsequent quarters. Therefore, our OPEX estimate is somewhere in the range of 50 to 55 million in the coming quarter.
Okay, 50 to 55 million in the quarter. Okay, fine, that's great. Thanks a lot. I appreciate all the answers.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line, Ms. Priya from Enam Security.
Yeah, good evening to the manager and congratulations on the good set of numbers. My first question relates to the corporate business margins. I mean, is it more to do with the fact that because of rupee appreciation, the margins have impacted, or is it because of the litmus first quarter being there? Because litmus would have been in an investment phase, right?
Yes. So I think there are three things which have contributed. Exchange rate is definitely one of them. Exchange rate, as I said, its impact on the top line was about 3%. On the bottom line would have been about half that, about 1.2-1.3% of the operating margin. Litmus being in startup phase was another one of them. And the other which we have been talking about, that the learning delivery business is in a ramp-up mode. And there, for each technology partnership that we go in for, we have to invest substantially in creating a bunch of trainers. That's an ongoing activity. And as each one of the partnerships mature, those start generating profit. So right now, that's also in a ramp-up mode. It's not losing money, but it's not generating the margin it should generate in a steady state level.
Sure. So it's feasible to go to 18-20% margin in this corporate training business over a period of time once litmus also becomes profitable.
Yes. I mean, as once they reach stability, to reach an 18-20% margin is what we have talked about in the past.
Sure. My second question relates to the pricing of the new programs which you had in the individual business, the network labs and IAE, if you could throw some light on that.
Pricing. Sure. Yeah, okay. Rabu.
Okay.
I had not talked about Mr. Raghavan, who is heading the individual business. He will be talking about that.
Okay. The network program is called the Network Lab. The price is around 52,000 rupees. And this is about 30% or so on a premium compared to a somewhat comparable program. Although the program itself is still beyond comparison for the quality content that it offers. It's about 11 months in duration and about 52,000 rupees is the price. Coming to the integrated A&I people engineers, shortly known as IAE, the pricing is a little less than 60,000 rupees, but that's the piloting that we've done at that price, and we believe that on a steady state basis, the pricing is at least about 20-30% lower than what the steady state prices are likely to be.
Sorry, Mr. 20-30% lower than?
20-30% lower than what I believe will be the steady state price for this product.
Okay, that's because it's in the launch phase rather.
We are going in the south right now.
Okay.
Yeah, we think that when it actually reaches the steady state situation, the pricing is likely to be at a higher level.
Sure, and then you mentioned on the response being pretty good, you know, if you could throw some qualitative comments on that front as well. I mean, while it's positive, just, you know,
See, like every new movie, we look at the first week, first fortnight, first month inquiry pattern.
Okay.
So it is based on that.
Sure.
And qualitatively, I'd like to add that if you look at the Network Labs program,
we have a
record endorsements by companies like the likes of HCL, Comnet, HP and IBM.
Okay.
When we launched the integrated A&IT for engineers, sitting in the stage along with us, the representatives from some of the leading top five IT companies.
Sure. So when you go in for marketing, you're marketing directly to the corporate, or does it, you know, it also, it's a direct individual effort as well?
It's an individual level marketing.
It is only individual level.
Right. Sure. You know, if also, the, you know, you gave the order book of 1 to 54 million, is it possible to have a breakup with, in this itself?
I think to reach this level itself has been.
I appreciate the disclosures, but you know, just to enable, you know, a large part of it, you know, if you could just give it, whether it's more on the new GNIT side or the old GNIT side, and that would be more helpful. That's the only reason I'm asking.
At this time, it won't be possible. Sorry.
Sure, not
but no, we'll work towards that.
Because the new GNIT is at a much better pricing, so you know, I'm just trying to understand more on the composition side, or.
Okay.
Sure. Thanks, sir. And what about the debt? You know, on the balance sheet, we have $10 million of FCCB.
Yes.
And you know, if you could give us the consolidated debt, actually.
Yeah. I will just give it to you in a minute. So the total debt is $10 million of FCCB, then the $35 million for the acquisition,
mm-hmm.
and $525 million rupees.
Okay, and on the capex plan, if you could give us some highlights for FY08, while it might be a bit earlier, quarter ahead, but given the momentum that you're seeing in the business, if you could throw some light on that.
Right now, we will stay with what we had mentioned earlier, which we said would be between 60 to 100 crores.
Okay, that's helpful. Thanks very much, and wish you all the best.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Next in line, Mr. Deepen Mehta from Deepen Mehta Shares.
Yes, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers.
Thank you.
I wanted to understand, that the interest expense in the EK column of 34 million.
Yes.
That is the acquisition cost that the loan 34 million which you took.
Yes.
To finance it, right?
Yes. So actually, this very strictly speaking should be in the NIIT column.
Yeah.
But we had explained it in the last quarter that all EK related expenses and EK revenues are put in one line, in one column, so that we understand whether EK is EPS accretive or not. So that's the reason 34 million interest, which is on the EK acquisition loan. That interest has been put in that column.
Second question, you know, last time you had said in the new businesses, and I stand corrected, that you were targeting 75 to 80 million of revenue, and there would be negative EBITDA of 65 to 70 million.
Yes.
And I observed that already we reached about 17 million negative EBITDA.
Yeah.
In the two quarters so far.
Yeah.
So that means that this particular guidance or whatever your estimate will be slightly, you'll be off the mark over there, because the revenues are also slower and the EBITDA will turn out to be higher. The loss negative will be higher for the current fiscal. Is that a correct?
I think we are well within the range. We can maybe explain it to you.
I think you will break even next quarter.
No. As Dr. D already mentioned, next quarter we are looking at a minus 10.
You're looking at?
A minus 10 EBITDA.
Okay.
Yeah. And we are at 64.
Okay.
62 to be precise, actually. We are 62 to be precise, so that will make it 72. That's why I said we are in the firing range.
Okay. Thank you. I just reserve my questions for later, please.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line, Mr. Kashyap Desai from Inan Securities.
Hi Vijay, just wanted to ask a little on the taxation front. Again, the tax, you know, the tax outgo has been very choppy. So if you could break it up into your current and deferred and FBT, and you know, what can we expect going forward?
Okay, can I reserve the answer to this question for sometime later, if I can pull out the data, if I have it right away, otherwise we can give it to you separately.
Yeah, absolutely, that's fine. So what do we expect going forward, actually? Because you might be having some losses from Element K, you know, accumulated losses and things like that?
No, no. See, element K losses can only be set off against element K profits.
Sure.
So those we will not get. We have our own accumulated losses of the past.
Okay.
Because now we have the tax assets available to us.
Absolutely.
So we will respond to you with this either today on this call, or maybe if we can't get the data right, we will respond to you separately.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line is Ms. Sonal Kohli from AIM Capital.
Mr. Charani, congratulations on good set of numbers.
Thank you.
Couple of queries. Firstly, what was your India net revenue growth for this quarter?
India net revenue growth for this quarter. Would you have that? No, so India, I have the individual learning business was 59% as we already shared. India business grew 67%. Is that the number you're looking for?
No, I'm looking for the number of 67% is for the system wide revenue. I'm looking net revenue level.
Okay, I'll give it to you in a minute. Or 48%.
Okay, so basically the franchisee growth was more than the own centers growth this quarter.
Very right.
Okay, and is that the reason why your overall system-wide revenue is growing at 81% while net revenue is growing at 59%?
Yes, when the channel grows faster than us, then system-wide revenue grows faster.
And is this also partly contributing to your expansion in EBITDA margin?
It will partially contribute to expansion in EBITDA margin as well, but there is an operating leverage which straight away comes in any case.
What about the other geographies? Have they grown at much faster rates? Because your overall system-wide revenue growth is 81%?
Yes, China, we mentioned, is 38%. And there will be other geographies, some geographies which perhaps did not have anything would have had a major growth, so that would have contributed. So rest of the world, in system-wide revenue terms, would have grown faster. But those are small numbers.
And is this rest of the world growth a sustainable kind or one-off?
No, not necessarily sustainable. It depends on their admission cycle. Since the numbers are so small, therefore we don't consider those as consistent.
And what would be India's contribution to net revenues?
India's revenue contribution to net revenues. Let's try to pull this out for you.
And the GNIT share of the total revenue of India?
Not available.
Okay.
Career revenues increased by 68%.
Okay. And GNIT is accounted for?
Yeah, is accounted for that.
And which are the new areas? You mentioned that you're looking at a couple of areas for growth. Could you highlight the growth opportunity and it's present in which segment and which of the areas are you examining?
One is infrastructure management services and networking and infrastructure management services. Here, we believe there will be a massive growth given the fact, given the way IBM, Accenture, EDS, and other large facilities management companies are ramping up operations, including our own NIT Technologies Limited. So we see this as a great opportunity, and there is a large requirement there. The formal sector is not ready with any answers, so they are taking general purpose engineers or diploma holders to solve these problems, and we see this as a very important opportunity for us. There are three things in this. There is networking, there is security, and there is storage. And in all these three areas, in the US, we work with technology companies and to do their learning delivery. So we see this as a natural opportunity for us to take advantage of in India.
Would you like to maintain your corporate and institutional guidance, or because the first 9 months growth has been much lower?
We would like to retain our overall guidance. The product mixes are changing as you can see, the business mixes are changing. So we are right now retaining our overall guidance.
Okay, and in terms of the new courses which you have started targeting at engineering students, could you throw a light on what's the size of the opportunity and what kind of over a couple of years, what kind of numbers are you looking from that business?
I'll ask Raghu to talk about that, Mr. Raghu.
Yeah, this program is a dual qualification program, just as you might remember about the JNIT starting a few 70 years back. So JNIT addresses the non-engineering students primarily. This is addressing the engineering students in colleges. If you look at the country, about 1.3 million students are there in the engineering colleges. Now, what we are addressing is the students in the colleges starting from semester 2 of the engineering program, and we will run along with them till they complete semester 6. That means we offer programs alongside engineering program over 5 of their 8 semesters. So this program teaches core subjects, disciplinary subjects, as well as development and business-oriented subjects during these 5 semesters. They get opportunity to specialize in one or the other track. It could be Java, it could be .NET, it could be one of the platforms. They could get specialization in the tier 4 and tier 5 of the program. In terms of numbers, over a period of 3 years, we are looking at something like 50,000 students over the period of the next 3 years.
50,000 students in 1 year or cumulative?
Over the next 3 years, we'll start out with a smaller number in the first year, and as we expand our presence to more and more colleges, we should be able to take the numbers to that extent. Cumulative number over the first 3 years is expected to be in the region of 50,000.
Okay. And could you throw some light on the private business, private school outlook in terms of revenues, growth, and what kind of margins do you see in a steady state in that business?
So, Mr. Rajendran, will you like to talk about? Right. Yeah. So in the private school, right now we have 38% growth. 39% growth. Now this is connected to our focus on increasing the private school business. Next quarter, it's difficult to say right now. Safe to say only that this is the time when new schools sign up and get ready for the new academic year, which will typically start April onwards. So new contracts get signed here, but it's difficult to give a guidance right now.
Which is the key portion of this private school business, training the teachers or providing content to the students?
Right now it's giving the teaching services inside the school and providing content, as in the curriculum content, and also content as in computer aided teaching content for the teachers to teach inside the schools.
And of course we train the teachers to be able to conduct it using that.
Right, right.
Could you also throw some light on the salary increases of your students? Do you track that number and what kind of increases have you seen this year? As well as on your China business, what was the average salary?
Okay. We definitely track the salary increases which our students get as we place them. So this year the average increase which we have seen is 24%.
Okay. And for your banking training, what was the average salary at which the students were placed with ICICI Bank?
It was the same salary at which every student was placed, and that's the, unfortunately, the employer would like to hold that number close to their chest.
Okay. Could you also throw some light on the outlook for depreciation? I understand that some portion of the depreciation was on account of demerger of NIT Energy Tech and is IPR based. What kind of depreciation can we see over next 2 years?
I think next year, on the current set of assets that we have, the depreciation will continue to be the same, approximately.
You don't see that going up?
No. On the current assets, if we add new assets, then that depreciation will go up, obviously.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line, Ms. Naitiri Balakrishnan from JP Morgan. Over to you, ma'am.
Good evening, sir. Congrats on a great set of numbers. I just wanted to understand this element K number a little better.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if there is any seasonality in the revenues in terms of is there any particular quarter, or is this quarter exceptionally good? Because if I remember rightly, the run rate previously mentioned was around 66 million for the previous year. And clearly the company seems to be running ahead of that.
Okay, I will ask Ashish to respond to that.
There is a little bit of an uptick during this quarter, primarily because of renewals in the catalog business. So there are a number of companies who renew in the month of December. So while their revenue recognition process does require that recognition over the entire period, because during the renewal time there is normally a small one-time fee attached to it, so there will be a little bit of uptake around in the December period, but it's not all that significant.
Okay, but then the earlier revenue number which was mentioned, which was around 66 million for the previous year.
Yeah, so I think let me clarify that part. 66 million is the revenue which we talked about in management accounting, assuming we adopt the revenue recognition which we have. I had also mentioned about the 707 would have been only $16 million, roughly $15.5 million.
Right.
This $15.5 million is the revenue which is on their books.
Okay.
So if you want to compare versus what we do, then their 21.34 multiplied by 4 would have been about $85 million.
Right.
Their gross revenue, if you remember it, was also, if you had mentioned it, was 83 or 84 million.
Right.
So at the gross revenue, they will match.
Okay, so is the run rate...
There has been nothing spectacular in their revenue, just to mention that.
So on a Y-on-Y basis, we should expect a similar growth rate, and the number we should look at is probably the 83, 84 and not the 66.
Very right. Because 66, we were trying to align them to the way we do our accounting. They do US GAAP accounting, and by their US GAAP accounting, we'll have to recognize their number only as we go forward.
Is there a component in this of reimbursements or license fees?
Their revenues?
Right.
No, it's not reimbursement. What tends to happen is that when they work with some of the technology companies, they are representing the technology company for the training center channel which they are servicing. The way we do our accounting in India is if we earned 100 rupee revenue, of which 15 or 80 was to go away, 50 or 60 was to go away, we would account for the balance 50 or 60 only. Whereas as per US GAAP, they account for the whole of 100.
Okay. I also wanted to understand about the number of people who have left. What's the current headcount?
Of 93146.
Of Element K?
Element K 607 at the end of the quarter.
Thank you. That's all for me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Next in line, a follow-up question from Mr. Sonil Kohli from AIM Capital. Over to you, sir.
Mr. Chalani, one pending question on India's contribution in the total revenue on the individual side.
Yeah, Sonal, we don't have the data readily available. We'll give it to you separately, please.
And could you throw some light on FDI in education? We have been hearing about it, and how would you be in a position to comment on that?
Same, we have also been hearing about FDI in education, and we have also been waiting for the government policy. As you know, it's a melting pot. There are just too many forces acting in different directions.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Participants are requested to press star 1 to ask a question. Next in line, we have Mr. Alok Agrawal. He is an individual investor.
Yeah. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, Alok.
I've got three questions, although they are more broad in nature. When do you see the company's ROC hitting 30%? By which financial year? That's one. Second, when do you see the China business, the individual business, growing to the size of India? And thirdly, when does the corporate business start growing at the rate of IT services, 30% or 40% plus more on YOY basis, at least, at, or 10% on QMQ basis? It's not a drop.
Yeah. Let me respond to the first one. The ROC of the company will steadily improve as we go along. As you know, right now there are a number of things which are being commissioned to inject a high growth. If we were to take those away, then obviously the ROC numbers would have looked very good, and at the same time the growth rate perhaps would not have. So right now the question is to balance ROC with growth and taking care of new opportunities. The new acquisition has also contributed to the same. So I think we need to see an improving ROC over the next few years is the best way I would like to say. When it would reach 30% at this time, I can only say on the basis of a spreadsheet calculation, because I think it is a couple of years definitely ahead of us before we can start looking at a 30% ROC. The second, you talked about China. China is right now growing at a rate which is faster than the rate at which Chinese industry is growing. So we do believe that it is catching momentum. This quarter itself, in the first 9 months, China has now become a double-digit contributor to the overall individual learning business, which itself was a difficult thing to imagine. It can grow faster, and we are looking at various opportunities. The newest opportunity is the Indian software companies as they are increasing their recruitment momentum in China. We see that as a low-hanging fruit because we are training people who are fully equipped with the software engineering methodologies which are valid in India, and that's good for both us as well as Chinese. We have tied up with some of the big five in China to help them with their placement. We see all these things contributing to an accelerating momentum in China. So that's for that answer to the second question. Can you repeat the third one?
Corporate business. I mean, unfortunately, however I put it, growth is not really good. If I keep Element Care separately, I think it can easily grow at the rate of IT services. In terms of business model, it's not much different.
Yeah, so you are absolutely right. There are components of that business which are growing faster than the IT services. For example, the learning technologies business. The learning technologies part, which is closest to the IT services, which should actually track IT services, is growing faster than IT services. It's growing at 39-40%. On the other hand, content, which is worldwide a slower business, we are trying to make sure that we move from outsourcing to outsourcing and thereby increase the learner share. Those are some of the contributors which will help us. The third will be the delivery business. There, as soon as our technology partnerships mature in each one of these and we have a sizable set of trainers, we will start seeing a steady growth. So you will see an improving growth, and I do appreciate your desire to see us growing at a rate faster than the IT services industry. It is such requirements of yours which help us move faster. 2 years ago you asked us, when will the individual business grow as fast as the IT services? Thanks to that suggestion, today we are growing double the rate of the IT services industry. Hopefully we'll be able to fulfill this requirement as well.
All the best.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, sir.
Can we take the last question now, because I think we're running out of time.
So this is a follow-up question from Mr. Deepen Mehta from Deepen Mehta Shares.
Just the usual question, any thoughts on your investment in NIIT Technologies? It's standing there right in the middle, and its value also has gone up significantly from last quarter to this quarter. What are the options? I mean, what are the thought processes which go on in the minds of the top management as to how you can unlock that huge value which is sitting on the books?
Yeah, so since you mentioned it's the usual question, not appearing to be tongue-in-cheek, but it's the usual response, which is, that, as you know, one of the reasons, one of the stated reasons is that we are looking for a strategic partnership which will help NIT Technologies to move into the next orbit. And we have made some partnerships in the past which have helped us. Acquisition of Room Solutions was one such thing in that direction, and the JV with Edeco was another one. And we will continuously look for opportunities by which we can help NIT Technologies grow. At this time, I think our shareholders should have something to rejoice rather than regret the fact that we have NIT Technologies in our portfolio. And in fact, in this quarter, they have contributed a great deal to our success. So in a sense, right now, but that cannot be our long-standing response for this question. So as we have mentioned before, we will continue to look at strategic opportunities. I would ask Mr. Pawar to say something as well on this.
Well, nothing more to add. I think there's no new development. It's just that various conversations which we have been doing, some of them have resulted in things like a day, those conversations are going on. So nothing new to add.
I just want to understand a bit more clearly. When you say that you want to get a strategic investor to partner into NIT Tech, do you mean and treat it as a possibility that NIT may just sell that stake it holds in NIT Tech to the strategic partner and get out of it, and then it becomes a bit of a kind of, existing promoters of NIT Technologies and their strategic partners? Is that what you are implying at?
Well, all possibilities. I mean, we are keeping all possibilities open.
Okay, sir, because it's been there for a long time on our books, and it's made some more impact on our ROCs and other ratios, balance sheet and P&L. Anyway, I hope you have a positive report for us sooner rather than later.
Yeah, we are working on it. It's not an issue which is neglected. We are working.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. At this moment, there are no further questions from participants. I would like to hand over the floor back to Mr. Vijay Thadani for final remarks.
Thank you very much for your encouraging response to our discussions today. And as usual, from your questions, we learned many new things. There are new data elements which have been asked for, some of which we could not provide. We will revert back to you with those and also put them on our transcript so that everybody has access to the same data. All that remains is now to thank you all for being here on this call, and thank you for your cooperation, guidance and support. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for choosing Webex Conferencing Service. That concludes this conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you, and have a nice evening.